We're going to go over to Colossians 1. You can start turning there. Colossians 1. So we started a series several weeks ago called 7 Steps to the Highest Kind of Faith. And we went over step 1, which is to know the reality of God's Word. And then we started on step 2, which is to know the reality of our redemption in Christ. To know the reality of our redemption in Christ. And we're still on that one. And so we're going to stay there. We're going to review a little bit and then go forward and probably finish that up, but we'll just see. But what we've said in that regard, to know the redemption, the reality of our redemption in Christ, that this is not just a doctrine, it's not just a philosophy, it's not something that we just accept with our head. This is a reality before all the world, before heaven and hell, that if we are born again, if we've been bought by the blood of the Lamb, if we've trusted in Jesus, that we are redeemed from the power of the enemy. And that's not just a doctrine. That's not just something that, well, yeah, okay, I get that, whatever. That's what you guys teach. No, it's in the Bible. And that's how we have to receive it, is that it's a truth, that we were actually under the power of Satan, and that anyone that's not born again is, in fact, under the power of Satan, who is the god of this world, the Bible says. God himself is sovereign. But he gave Adam dominion. Genesis said, he gave Adam dominion. He said, have dominion over all the creation. And Satan bowed his knee to Satan, or God, Adam bowed his knee to Satan. And God does not just, he is a just God. He doesn't just run in and say, do over, time out. Wait. That's not the way I saw this going. Adam, here's what you're going to do. You don't give in to him this time. All right. Now, from the beginning, let's go. He doesn't do that. He can't do that because Satan would be right there saying, you're unjust. You cannot do that. No, you gave dominion to Adam. Adam bowed his knee to Satan. And the Bible calls Satan the god of this world. Why don't you turn over to Corinthians real quick before we get going. We have to understand this. See. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Hold your finger in Colossians. We'll get back there if you haven't already taken your finger out of there. We'll get back to Colossians 1, but go to 2 Corinthians 4:4. Praise God, everybody there. 2 Corinthians 4, let's go to 3. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Notice that. Let's go to verse 3. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now, if there was a bridge out, you know, let's say you were going into Boston and the Zakum was out. Now, would somebody in their right mind, like I say, you have flashing lights, you have signs, crash through those in their car and just keep right on going and you know, go over the cliff there? No. Could a drunk person do that? Or somebody that was heavily doped up? Yeah, they could. Lights, everything, and they're just, you know, they're going boom, right? Nobody in their right mind would reject Jesus. But somebody that's been blinded and lied to and deceived would. And that's exactly what's happening. And the light of the gospel is what's going to shine through to people's, to men's understanding and illuminate the truth of their situation, that they are actually, without Jesus, lost. That's the gospel. Verse 3, it says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. They're perishing, they don't know it. People don't know it. They say, everything's good, man. What are you talking about? Hell. Prove it. There's no hell. That's perfect. If there's no hell, if there's no Satan, if they don't believe in any of this, then that's a perfect thing for the enemy to work. Perfect setup. That's exactly the way he wants it. Lost and don't know it. If you don't know you need help, not going to look for help. Unless something comes into your life and shines on it and you realize, oh, wait a minute. What I've been thinking, it's wrong. This is real. You mean the bridge is out? Oh, put on the brakes. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What was I going to do? This is not a video game. That I can't jump it. I'm going to die if I go over that. People think it's a big game. People don't realize the truth of what we're reading right here. Thank God that we can see this. Thank God that you and I can look at this book right now. People died to get this, and that we can look at it. We have many copies of it. We can look at it, and we can see, if we choose to believe, the truth. Verse 4 says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Notice that. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The point I wanted to get to you is there is a God of this age. His name is Satan. Now, he's not going to be the God. He is the God of this world. He is not the God. In other words, he's the landlord right now. People say, well, why is the world in such a mess if God is in control of everything? God is sovereign, but he does not control everything. Otherwise, nobody would go to hell. Right? Does God let people go to hell? Yes, he does. He lets them go to hell. If God was in control of everything, it said that the Bible says in another place, he is not willing that any should perish. Right? No, God isn't controlling every little thing. There is an enemy. There is a devil. And he is here, like we read in John 10:10 last week, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Let's look at that real quick. John 10:10. See, if we don't understand the state of the world, we won't fully understand our redemption. We won't understand what's really gone on if we don't understand the state of humanity without Jesus. We need to know this. We need to know, because if we understand that, then we can understand what we've been redeemed from. John 10:10. Everybody there? It says, the thief does not come except to steal. Now, this is Jesus saying it. He said, he does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Then he goes on to say, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But it says in verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That is the work of the enemy. This is not God. If it's stealing, killing, destroying, it's not God. So many people are saying, well, God did this. God did that. No. No, right here. We can see if it's bad, if it's stealing, killing, or destroying, this is not the work of the Lord. This is the work of the enemy. And God gets credit for a lot of things that the enemy does. You know, it's like a bunch of school kids in line, you know, and the one is sitting here and he's got a couple next to him and he baps the kid on the side of the head down there and just looks away and points to the kid next to him. No, it's him. Smacks him again. No, it's him. That's what the devil does all day long. He's going around stealing, killing, and destroying. And then people are going, God did this. It's a work of the Lord. Because half people don't believe that the devil exists. And a lot of people don't believe God exists either, but they certainly, more people believe God exists than the devil exists. I mean, they'll say, well, yeah, there's probably a supreme being or something, but nah, there's no enemy. That's just, yeah. So the devil, it just goes around merrily. I mean, you imagine, he is scot-free, doing whatever he wants, and nobody knows, and people don't even realize he's existing. And then they're getting mad at the Lord, getting mad at God. God, why don't you do something about this? Why did you let this happen to me? That's the wrong question. That's the wrong question. No, there is an enemy. We live in a curse-filled world, and stuff is not the way it was at creation. It's a fallen world, and stuff is going on, and there's a God of this world that's wreaking havoc. He set a lot of things in motion that we're just, you know, living in, and we need to look to the Lord to get us through and to get us out. And if we'll look to Him, He can bring us through. So why don't you turn over to Colossians, I think. Go to Colossians. Colossians 1:12, where we were going. Colossians 1, verse 12, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Read verse 12 again. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance, of our inheritance, of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. That means we were under the power of darkness. And conveyed us or translated us into the Son or the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So we talked about this. We need to know that this is a reality. In other words, we've got to know that there is a kingdom of darkness, that there is a God of this age, that there is a condition to be redeemed from, and that through Jesus and through believing on Jesus, we were actually translated, we were conveyed from under the thumb of the devil. He had us like this, whether we knew it or not, whether we were blinded, we didn't even know we had him as a father and that he was the one that was lording it over us. And through Jesus, we were actually translated out of his family, out of his control, into the control and the family of Almighty God. And today we stand as children, daughters and sons of Almighty God. And that is a reality. We can't take it as a doctrine. That's something that sounds good, that there is a literally a family of God. There is literally a family of darkness. It's family that is under the control of Satan, and that we have been literally translated out of that old family into a new family. We have a new father who is a good father that doesn't knock us around every chance he gets, doesn't abuse us, doesn't come to steal, kill, and destroy his own children, but we are now in a family and a kingdom of the great creator of the universe through the precious blood of the Lamb, and that we are literally and completely in this family, that this is a reality. And that in reality, this other family of darkness has no authority over us whatsoever now, legally. Legally. He has no control. Remember, he's a deceiver. He tries to blind people and he tries to make them think that he still has control. Christians will believe that the devil can do anything he wants in their life, and he can only do that if we give him authority to do it. If we agree with that, what he's going to try to do is make it look like he can. And if we agree with him, we've just opened the door. Do you see this? Somebody can come to your door and try to convince you of all kinds of stuff. But if you don't buy it, if you don't open the door for them, they cannot get in. But if you start listening to them and say, well, maybe what you say is true, why don't you come in and you entertain them? Now you've opened the door. Now you've said, come in. And if you would give somebody like that authority to do certain things in your life, yeah, well, here's my checkbook. Go out and do whatever you want, you know. You may have some stuff going on that you don't want, but it wasn't because that person could legally come and take it. We have the authority to put the devil on the run, and the Holy Spirit backs it up. The power of Almighty God. But if we are deceived, if we don't realize what we're talking about right here, if we take it as, yeah, I don't know, I'm redeemed, whatever. But this problem and the devil, I mean, I don't care what I've read or been taught. For all practical purposes, this looks like the devil's eating my lunch, and that's the way it is. We've just declared that we're taking our circumstance more than what the Word says, and that's the problem. That's the problem. Because if we put our circumstance and what we see and feel above what the Bible says, then all the devil has to do is just start pressing on our senses with pressure points. He just starts putting some pressure on your feelings, on your flesh, on what you can feel and see and taste and touch and your emotions to try to make you think and make you feel like God is not on your side, that he is not working for you. This is how he deceives men. Because he is the God of this world. He can mess with some stuff out here. But if we'll stay firm and say no, that's what the Word of God says. He knows he has no authority, but he's going to try to convince us he does. Do you see this? And he will. And the challenges of life will come to us. It's up to us. Are we going to accept them or not? If we think, well, I'm a Christian, and I've heard some teaching on this, and so the devil, he's never going to touch me again. Wrong. It's not true. And if we think that he's not going to try, to push on us, we're deceived. And then that's why, see, people go down this road. This is a ditch. They start thinking, well, I believe in faith. I'm a faith man or woman. So life is a bed of roses. Never going to have another problem again. And then when problems show up, they blame God. Because they say, it wasn't supposed to be like this. I'm not supposed to. I found out about believing God. Now, God, I'm not supposed to have any problems anymore. No, God didn't say he would deliver us out of completely, that we would never have any problems. He said in the midst of it, he would take us out of it. He would bring us over. That we're overcomers. That means you came over. That means you came over or through or around. You went through something. That doesn't mean you just never had anything. How can you be a conqueror if you're just sitting there going, if you don't ever have anything to conquer, how can you be more than a conqueror? Just sitting here, chilling out, sipping lemonade. I'm more than a conqueror. That's what people think. They think, nothing touches me anymore since I found out. You know, nothing ever. And then when something hits them, they go, whoa, 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 whoa. This is what I signed up for. What's this? Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm not supposed to have this. What? What, God? What? And they get mad and they say, oh, this doesn't work. God didn't say that. He did not say you wouldn't have any problems. He said when the problem comes, you come against it and say, no, you don't have authority anymore here. And you have to put it on the run. If we say, no, oh, no, when I get a problem, oh, no, I'm just going to sit here and just hope it goes away. That's a problem. Because it's usually not going to go away on its own. We're not exempt from facing the challenges of life, but we know something about the Word, and it can't be just doctrine and just, well, I believe that. When the real challenges of life come and hit you, it's not enough just to say, well, I believe that. But I just don't feel like it's true, so I'm not going to do anything about it. We have to hit it and say, no, this cannot stand. We can't repeat everything we've said in the last few weeks, but repeating some of it. If somebody came at you in a legal way and you knew it wasn't right, you could just lay over and say, hey, I'm not going to fight it. Or you could stand up and say, this is wrong. You're going down. This is not right. This will not stand. And you can fight. Right? So many Christians are going, they're going to win anyway. I don't know. I'm just not going to even try. And then they wonder why. They say, oh, it doesn't work. No, it's working perfectly. If we agree, if in the natural, if somebody came and sued you and said, okay, I give. You're right. Then you say, well, the legal system doesn't work. No, it's working right. You didn't challenge. They had no right to make the challenge that they did, but you bought it. Hello? Do you see that? I mean, it's real clear. It's real clear in the natural. If somebody came at you with something frivolous and accused you of something or whatever, and you knew this was wrong, but you chose to just let it go, and or you pleaded guilty or whatever, the legal system's, it's working. But it'd be like in the natural, somebody going, I gave into it and whatever, but judge, I want you to forget everything I said, forget my testimony, and just overturn it anyway. Now, if the judge did that, now the legal system is not working. Now it's corrupt. And that's what people want God to do. They don't want to stand up and say, Satan, get out of here. In the name of Jesus, you have no authority. I know what the Word of God says. I know what the law says. Legally, this is what's happened. You don't have authority over me anymore. I was in your family, but I've been adopted into this family. You have to leave. What we want, and so many people are waiting, is just to go, I feel like, darn it, why is this happening? I feel like I'm still over here, and probably am anyway, and I probably messed up, and who am I anyway? I thought it was too good to be true. I was over there, but I don't think it's really true. And then they want God just to magically pick them up and go, oh, no, 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 you're right here. It's okay, devil, get out. Satan is going to rise up and he's going to go, unjust. And unless we stand up, he's going to run us over. But it's not because it doesn't work. It's not because it's not true. It's because we chose not to believe it. Or we've been blinded. But how many of you know what we're reading right now? This is the light of God's word. And this light is shining on our understanding. The devil does not want you to meditate or see this. Because the game is up. If we see this and understand it, don't just, yeah, it's just, you know, doctrine, but we take it and realize that this document is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it has been captured for us so that we know the truth on planet Earth. And that we can look at it, and even though men are deceived, we can look at it and say, wait a minute. There is an enemy. And he does lord it over people. But I believed on Jesus. And this right here, it tells me what my rights and privileges are. I've been redeemed from this stuff. Satan has, wait, he has no authority over me. And you find that out, and you don't take it as just, well, I just, you know, I went to church and I heard that. But you take it as, this is the word of the living God. This document is living, and this tells us the truth of living in this realm. And we say, wait a minute, that enemy has been defeated. He has no authority over me. If we'll take that as real, that's faith. If we believe it and we say, wait a minute, then when something comes, we're like, oh, no, 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 I know what's going on here, and we stand up to it, that's called faith. That's what it is. It's belief that this is more true than anything I see. That's what it is. We've made it too complicated. Now he's going to try. He's going to bring things against us. He'll bring things against our bodies, against our relationships, whatever. Now I'm not saying the devil is behind every door, instigating everything. This is a fallen world. He set some things in motion, and it's just coming down. But sickness came because Adam fell. And yes, it's been passed down in genes, and yes, there's things going on in the world. But we're redeemed from it. And so we need to stand up and go, wait a minute, not for me. That's not for me. I'm not going to take it. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Look at verse 12. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Notice that. He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has. Healing is part of our inheritance. It's been given to us. But we have to take it. We have to take it. Turn over really quick. Hold your finger in Colossians. Turn over to Matthew 8:17. Praise God. So that was all just introduction. I'm just kidding. I'm not really kidding, but I'm not going to go for another so long, but Matthew 8:17. Matthew 8:17. Praise God. Actually, go to verse 14. Actually, you just read the whole chapter 8. It's all good. Every part of it's on healing, too. Matthew 8:14. I encourage you to go read chapter 8. We're not going to take time to read it all. Matthew 8:14, it says, "And when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and served them." Praise God. Hold your finger there. Real quick. We got 10 of them. I hope you still have 10 of them. Thank you, Lord. Go over to Luke 4:38 real quick. I want you to see this in this gospel. Luke 4:38. Praise God. Y'all over there? Luke 4:38. It says, "Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them." But notice that. He stood over her and he rebuked it. He said something to it. He spoke to the fever. Did you see that? Can a fever hear? What'd it do? It left, so evidently he spoke to the fever. He rebuked it. You think Jesus knew who he was? Yeah, he knew who he was at this point. He knew that that fever didn't have any right. And he told it what to do, and it left. Let's go back over to Matthew. Matthew 8:16. It says, "When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick." Praise God. You see that? He cast out the spirits with the word. He told the spirits to leave, and they obeyed. And healed all who were sick. Verse 17, "That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Glory to God. Now that's quoting Isaiah 53. Why don't you go back to Isaiah 53 real quick? Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53:4. Isaiah 53:4. It's talking about Jesus. Prophesying about Jesus. We could go back to verse 1. Let's read verse 1. It says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs. Margin of my Bible says literally sicknesses. And carried our sorrows. Margin of my Bible says literally pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So this is in the same chapter. You go to verse 12. Look at verse 12. It says, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Let me ask you a question. It says he bore the sin of many. And many people will accept that he bore the sin of many. But right in verse 5, in verse 4, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And like I told you, that's literally sicknesses and pains. And in Matthew 8:17, the Holy Spirit has interpreted that for us by putting in Matthew 8:17, it says, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And he's talking about him just healing someone. So lest somebody try to spiritualize that and make that just about sins, the Holy Spirit has put this in Matthew saying that he was talking about sickness and disease. And he said he bore our. Verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for what? For our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This is part of our inheritance. This is part of what Jesus bought for us, just as much as redemption of sin, from sin. It's the same. It's all the same package. You can't separate them. If we're talking about the Messiah in Isaiah, if he bore our sin, it's the same chapter, it's the same thing. It's talking about Jesus. If he bore our sin, then he also bore our sickness. You can't separate them. And the fact is, if we've been redeemed from sin, sin was the cause of sickness. That's why sickness entered the earth. Adam bowed his knee to Satan. Then men died. But if you're redeemed from the power of sin, there's no penalty. There's no legal punishment, because it was on Jesus. It's already been paid for. So it's already been paid for. This is part of our inheritance. You guys still have your finger in Colossians? Go ahead and turn back over to Colossians 1. We just read in verse 12. I just want you to lay your eyes on it. Praise God. Colossians 1:12, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. The Father has qualified us through Jesus to be partakers of our inheritance. Part of our inheritance is redemption from sickness. And we've been qualified to be partakers now. Now. that we can take our authority and be redeemed now. We are delivered from the authority and power of darkness now. We're translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son now. We have deliverance and redemption from the hand of Satan now. We can't put these things in the future going, I'm going to do it. Yeah, someday I'm going to get redeemed. No, we have to know that Jesus redeemed us and that inheritance is ours and we've been qualified to be partakers now. We've been moved over here, and part of being over here is the fact that Jesus took our sickness and infirmities. We have deliverance and redemption from the hand of Satan. Now we can overcome the enemy now by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony in our confession. We can glorify God now in our bodies and in our spirits, which are God's. Now. Hallelujah. We talked about last week that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We read, and you don't have to turn over there, we read in Revelation 12:11 that they overcame him, the enemy, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now. See, if we don't take it, if we take it as just, well, I believe that and I believe someday, Lord, we won't bring it in to now. That I can have it now. That today I'm redeemed. That Jesus has already done everything he's going to do. That the inheritance is there and that we have to take the word at face value and say, I believe that. I believe that I have been redeemed and that part of my redemption is the fact that I don't have to be sick. That is under this domain over here, this family over here. But I am not in that family. I'm in this family. And one of the benefits of being in this family is that I have an inheritance and I have a package. I have a benefits package that I don't have to put off into the future that I can take now. It's waiting for me now. But the only way I can access it is to take God at his word, to believe it. I have to access it by faith and say, God, I believe it. I accept it now. Today. I can't say it's going to be 3 weeks from now. I can't say, well, maybe someday because I haven't taken it. I haven't said no, because I'm thinking something has to change. What's going to change? What's going to change in 3 weeks? Jesus already bought it. It's sitting here. It's already been prepared for us. Let me ask you, what if it's already been paid for people that lived 50 years ago? What has changed? If it's going to be 3 weeks from now that something's going to change, the people that lived 50 years ago were already out of luck because it's not going to change till 3 weeks from now. So how did they ever receive healing? Now let me ask you, what is God waiting on? He's not waiting on anything. The fact is, healing is just as much ours right now as it was 100 years ago for people, and it will be 100 years from now if Jesus doesn't come back. Nothing is changing except our understanding, and we say, that's mine. I'm taking it now. I believe that. That's the only thing that's going to change. Let me ask you, how do people come into the family of God? When they accept the fact that Jesus paid for their sins, right? Did anything change from God's point of view last week to this week? And people have gotten saved. No, they just saw the light and they said, I believe that. You mean I can be saved? You mean I need to be saved and I can be saved? I've taken it. It's the same thing in healing. It's the same thing is that we get in our mind that, well, I know, but I gotta build up and I'm just not going to be able to take it. And it's there. And we just keep putting it into the future and keep putting it in the future. The fact is, it's already done. It's already taken. And all that we have to do is take this at face value, believe it, accept the reality of it, and stand up in the face of it. Now, what we're doing so many times is we're waiting for something to change so that we feel different, and then we'll say, now I'm healed. But you can't wait for it to change first. So many times when it's in the future, what we're really saying is, I just don't feel like I'm healed yet. It doesn't look like it, so maybe next week I'll feel better. That's not believing that what he said is true. That's the difference. We have to say no now. I believe it today. I take it today. Yeah, but you don't look like it. See, that's the thing. The enemy is going to come and push you and say, you don't look any better. Why in the world would you believe it? And in the face of that, we have to say, I believe it now. I believe it now. You don't have any authority. I'm not in your family anymore. I'm here. This is the reality. I have it. It's been bought. It's been paid for. I have it. And then you're pushing back on him. Hallelujah. You got just a minute more. Let me read you something. Can you take just a little more? I know I'm going just a little over. Praise God. There's this one retired missionary, he prayed for folks like this. And he helped Brother Hagin one time in a prayer line to pray for the sick. And he said this. This is the way he prayed. He said, Father, this woman is your child. She belongs to you. It is not right that the devil should dominate her through sickness and disease. So we thank you, Father, because you have made provision for her deliverance. You laid her sickness and her diseases on Jesus, for it is written, Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Then this retired missionary talked to the devil. No, he wasn't praying to the devil. He was talking to the devil. He was exercising his authority over the devil based on God's word. He said, Now, Satan, you're going to have to take your hands off this woman's body, because this body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. It belongs to God, and you've got no right to trespass on God's property. Now we demand that you remove yourself from God's property. Then the retired missionary talked to the woman. He didn't pray for the woman, but he talked to her. He said, Now, sister, Satan has oppressed your body with sickness, but God has made provision for your deliverance. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and you are commanded to glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Can God be glorified in your body by the devil dominating it? No, therefore, you stand against this sickness with me, and together we will demand that Satan stop trespassing on God's property. Hallelujah. There was a sign one time that read, Gentlemen will not, and others, it was on a lawn of somebody's property, it said, Gentlemen will not, and others must not trespass on this property. So Brother Hagin said he put a sign on his body years ago, figuratively speaking, that said, No trespassing, devil, this means you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we say, no, no. So many times when the symptoms come, when it looks like there's something, that we say, no, this is illegal. Just like you would in the natural. If somebody trespassed, no. No, this is illegal. No, don't give me your story. Don't give me your line. This is a lie. Leave now. Do you see this? We got to be confident and convinced of this right here, and we won't buy this junk anymore. And that's it. That's it. But it's not a game. It's not a game. You try to play games. Oh, I heard somebody say it, and well, let's see if you go. Oh, you didn't go. It doesn't work. No. We have to know that this is a done deal legally, and we say, no, this will not stand, and I'm standing up. No, no. You get out of here. This is wrong. Jesus already bought and paid for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Satan knows he has to go, but he'll push. And he'll connive, and he'll try to make us think, well, you have symptoms, therefore it's got to stay. No, it doesn't. No more than I got my foot on your lawn means it's my house. Amen? Amen. Praise God.